This is the Brian Hayes Show on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
Yeah, I mean, he's a real good player, obviously. Let's be honest, you can pick first more than one time and not get him. So, you know, he's a real good player. I thought their goaltender was real good early. I mean, we worked hard, had lots of chances. And in the end, they were able to capitalize on theirs. The kid was involved in that, all of them. And, you know, you're Eberle and you got some skill, you're pretty thankful you're playing with.
Mike Babcock, after seeing the McDavid show firsthand last night, Mike Hogan in for Brian Hayes for the next hour, then it's down to the Enercare Center as Dave Naylor, TSN Drive, will come to you from sort of the home of the NBA All-Star festivities over the next 2.5 days before the game itself, and we will be down there tonight and all day tomorrow and Sunday from noon to 4. Andy Mack and I will be down there as well. So if you are down there, please come by and say hi to us at TSN 1050. We'll have the game for you tonight as the Rising Star Challenge will air at 9 o'clock after Taddy and McNamara will be on from 7 until 9. Then we've got the All-Star Challenge to our All-Star Saturday, the skills competitions basically tomorrow night. We'll have that for you, and we'll have all of the programming tomorrow from the Enercare Center. And then on Sunday, as mentioned, Andy Mack and I at noon, and then game day with Jim Taddy and Dwayne Watson and Josh as we get you ready for the game itself. And you can hear that here on TSN 1050 as well. Now, let's get back to hockey, shall we? Before we get back to basketball, Jack Armstrong, Nick Stauskas will join us as well. But from TSN Hockey, Marty Biron's on the line. How are you doing, Martin?
I'm doing great. We can talk basketball if you want to, but I don't know I'll be much help. But I sure like what's going on in Toronto for this big All-Star thing.
Were you a one-sport guy when you grew up? Were you so dedicated to hockey, or did you play golf or tennis or baseball or other sports when you were growing up?
I played everything. I moved around from baseball to soccer to tennis to golf to hockey. We invented our own sports in the backyard. We find whatever we could find and mixed and matched sports together and played games. We played basketball in the middle of the street. The same way you'd move the nets in the middle of the street.
Sure.
We build stands and we use the street as our basketball court in the summer. We did about anything you can imagine.
So you became a professional athlete, and there are so many parents right now who think that going hockey year-round is the best answer. How much did playing every sport help you as an athlete?
Oh, absolutely helped being a well-rounded athlete, doing different things. I mean, that is one of the things that I struggle with right now, because obviously I do goalie clinics and I do goalie development in Buffalo, and we've got programming 12 months out of the year, so we want to have people there 12 months out of the year. But at the same time, I keep reminding people that until you get to the age of about 15, you should be venturing out to any sports. Lacrosse is a fantastic sport. You know, my son plays football, baseball. He plays all of them. Yes, he loves hockey, and yes, hockey is his main focus. And with a lot of kids, it is too, especially up in Toronto and Canada. But you can venture out and be a better athlete for that matter. And, you know, just skating around. You know, you're with your buddies. You don't have to play goalie every time you're in the backyard either. Just go and skate around as a player. That helps your skating as well.
You've had the opportunity to see McDavid play a lot before the injury, after the injury. He's been back for a week or so now. He's okay. What do you like the most about his game?
Oh, he's not bad at all.
Yeah.
I think his skating, to me, it's amazing how he can generate such power with such few strides. You look at his first goal against the Leafs, he definitely blew right past Arcabello, I think, and just like in six strides through the neutral zone had created about a 10-12-foot separation to be able to receive the pass and be all by himself in front of Bernier. To me, that is amazing. And one of the knock on McDavid, especially in his junior years, was, oh, he doesn't really work defensive part of the game. He's not back-checking. He's not doing all that stuff. Well, it's not because he didn't want to do it or because he didn't know how to do it. It's because he was dominating in juniors and the need for it wasn't there. But you see him back-checking. You see him being in good defensive position to be able to help in the defensive zone and also in the offensive zone. His second goal last night, he was the third man high. backed up the defenseman on the pinch, got open in the slot when the puck was turned over, and then he just sniped it on goal because he was in a great defensive position before getting the puck.
You played on some pretty good teams. You played on some pretty bad teams as well over the course of your NHL career. The Leafs are certainly at low ebb right now. If you were to give any advice to the guys on the Leafs right now, what would you recommend on just mentally trying to get through this season?
Well, I think it's all about earning a spot for the future, earning a roster position moving ahead. The Leafs are building for not next season, but for in 2-3 years from now. At the very minimum, well, are you one of the guys that wants to be around for that? And if you do, then make it count now. It's not going to be more than possibly 6 or 7 guys out of this roster that will probably be on this team in 3 years from now, when the team would be just about getting competitive, and with the front office and Coach Babcock wanted it the way that they have with the draft pick they might get. That's the future. And if you want to be part of that future, put the work boots on right now. I kept telling that to all the guys in Buffalo last season. You know, I mean, they were tanking. They were trying to finish last to be able to get McDavid or Eichel. But some guys earn contracts. Some guys earn a spot on the team, not only for this season, but for the years to come because of the way they played and the way they worked during a season that is just miserable.
Marty Biron joining us, a part of the TSN hockey crew, and you're listening to the Brian Hayes Show here on TSN 1050. Mike Hogan in for him today. Big story back home today for you, as La Presse reporting that Carey Price was done for the season. Michelle Therrien came out and said there's no truth to that at all. What have you been able to find out about the status of Carey Price?
Well, you know what? I'm just kind of going around reading what everybody's saying and listening to what everybody's saying, but I kind of want to draw my own conclusion. Is I've seen a lot of goalies with knee injuries in the past. I was lucky enough to not have any of these issues myself, but when I watched a video, and I watched it again today, of him skating right after the All-Star break, and he was really angry at breaking his stick, there's definitely discomfort there. He can't even stretch his right leg and extend it in a stride in a way that it would be comfortable and normal. And that is even before putting your goalie equipment, before going in the butterfly, before trying to do a split to the right-hand side if there's a pass going that way. To me, he was a minimum months away from being ready. And now those reports, although, as Michelle Therrien said, you know, may not be as accurate as the truth, but still, there's always a truth to it. And to me, it's just it follows suit to what I'm looking at and what I've said all along, is this is going to be a very, very long and hard process for Carey Price to come back.
Can they get through with the duo they have in goal right now, or would you make a move? And, you know, people in Toronto are obviously going to say, boy, James Reimer as a rental goalie would be a good option, get something from Montreal, and then the Leafs re-sign him if they want to go that way in the offseason. But would you make a move for a guy like Reimer?
Well, you know what? I think for the Canadiens to make a move before the deadline, they have 7 games before the February 29th deadline. They would have to be 5 wins and 2 losses to put themselves in a position to think to be buyers and to go get somebody in the NHL, a goaltender, possibly Reimer, possibly a bona fide backup, maybe that's better than what they've got. I think of Chad Johnson in Buffalo, maybe available in the market. But if they are 5-2, they will have 68 points in 62 games. They would probably have to go 13-7 at the very minimum in the last 20 games to get themselves close to a playoff spot. And that's if everybody is just basically average for the rest of the season. So to me, that is going to be a stretch. For them to make the playoffs, regardless of if they acquire a goalie or not, I think it's a stretch. I think unless they go almost perfect in the next 7 games, they better be sellers, and they better look at Dale Weiss and Thomas Fleischman and Tom Gilbert, UFAs that you may unload to get some picks, and better luck next year when Carey Price is healthy.
The Price story is the one that has dominated the headlines in Montreal and Toronto. The big name is Steven Stamkos, and what might happen to him in the offseason or even at the trade deadline. What do you think happens to him, A, this year, and B, next year?
Well, with the position that the Tampa Bay Lightning is in right now, you probably think that Stamkos is going to stay there until the end of the season. Now, Yzerman, to me, has got a very strong conviction, mm-hmm. and you could see it with Jonathan Drouin as to if he believes that he that what he wants to do for this organization is the right thing, the players are going to have to wait. And maybe that is what he's doing with Stamkos, although even Stamkos himself said that there's been good talk right now. I've said this from the beginning. I don't think that Stamkos is going to go anywhere, but the longer it goes, the more and more teams are going to start inquiring, and then teams are going to maybe throw something that Steve Yzerman can't refuse. So, but to me, it looks as though Tampa Bay is in a really good spot going in the Atlantic, and you look at Florida playing well, but I think they're trying to get back to the finals, and I don't think they would do it without Steven Stamkos. I think they need him in the lineup to be able to make another push to get to the finals.
I always enjoy your conversations, my friend. Thank you for doing this, and we'll see you around the office soon.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Marty. Martin Biron joining us from TSN Hockey, a longtime NHL goaltender, and just doing a dynamite job on the TV side, and always enjoy talking to Marty about all things NHL. We'll get back to All-Star Talk when we come back. Nick Stauskas will join us, who's actually working for TSN this weekend. We'll explain his duties. We'll have him explain his duties. It is 18 minutes after 3 o'clock. Mike Hogan in for Brian Hayes. This is TSN 1050. Coming up a little bit later on, got the best bets coming your way. We'll do all hockey today. Also coming up, we have Jack Armstrong joining us, and we'll talk to Army about all things going on with the All-Star Weekend, and Lord knows that if there's anybody who's going to have fun at the NBA weekend, it's going to be Jack Armstrong. So Jack, of course, one of our NBA analysts here on TSN, and TSN 1050 is going to drop by, and we'll talk to Army about everything going on. Waiting for Nick Stauskas to join us here in a couple of seconds. Here's the lineup, just in case you're trying to figure out what's going on this weekend. And we'll keep you up to speed here on TSN 1050, obviously. TSN Drive at 4 o'clock. Dave Naylor's going to be down at the Enercare Center, where it's sort of, the party central as far as fans go for the next couple of days. Taddy and McNamara tonight, 7 to 9, and then we'll have the Rising Stars Challenge for you. That game will be on TSN 1050, TSN, and Sportsnet 1. The celebrity game, not on radio, but will be on TSN and Sportsnet 1. On Saturday, 10 to noon, Mike Richards from the Enercare Center. Then noon to 2, it will be Cause and Wheeler. And then 2 to 4, Brian Hayes and Dave Naylor. 4 to 6, the one-on-one crew will be down there. That's all at the Enercare Center. And then at 6 o'clock, All-Star Saturday night on TSN 1050, TSN, and Sportsnet 1. Sunday, noon to 4, Andy McNamara and I will be down at the game day festivities at Enercare. And then the All-Star game itself, after game day with Jim Taddy, Dwayne Watson, and Josh Lewenberg down at the Sport Check studio across from the Air Canada Center. And then the All-Star game, because of the co-ownership with Rogers and Bell, the All-Star Game will be heard on TSN 1050 and the Fan 590. It will be on TSN and Sportsnet 1. So that's the layout. It's going to be for basketball fans, absolute nirvana. It's going to be a blast over the next couple of days. So you're going to see all hands on deck from the radio perspective, also on TV, as we've already heard and seen over the last couple of days, the whole crew has been aboard. And even the TSN TV types have added a contributor to the TV lineup, and we're going to introduce him a little bit earlier on, although for basketball fans, he will certainly need no introduction. We're a couple of minutes away. Nick Stauskas is who I'm talking about, and it's been interesting. Here's another guy who was a high NBA first-round draft pick and ends up a year later with another team and playing for the Philadelphia 76ers, even though the NBA is still new to him. It can't be a lot of fun going out there and losing almost every night, although I guess if you're looking for some sort of light at the end of the tunnel. The good thing for the 76ers is they've been playing a lot better of late. They haven't been getting blown out to the same extent that they were earlier in the season. They've been winning some ball games over the last 3 or 4 weeks. And if you're a fan of the 76ers, and I know that there's a certain generation that has a warm spot for them, especially if you became a basketball fan, say, in the Julius Erving era or the Charles Barkley era or the Allen Iverson era. You may be a little partial to the 76ers, and watching them has been very tough. Although I will admit, we were down at an Eagles game a couple of years ago, and there was on the Saturday night or the Friday night, the 76ers were playing, and the game was on TV in the bar that we were in. And believe it or not, they had the game on in the back of the bar, and there was a fairly large group who were still watching the team play, even though you knew they were going to lose. So there's the rabid fan base down there, and you know, there may be a light at the end of the tunnel, and hopefully Nick is a big part of that going forward. So we are awaiting the arrival. He's going to be doing the red carpet tonight, which must be fairly interesting. Just, you know, anytime you can step out of your natural element, and for him it's being a player, not being somebody on the other side of the microphone. We teased it a little bit earlier on when he was with Jennifer Hedger and they were talking to Andrew Wiggins, and he actually got a question in. And you could tell. Now, here's a guy who has been asked a million questions over the course of his career as a big-time player at Michigan. I mean, Big Ten Player of the Year in a conference that gets a lot of media attention, and now going to another media-insane market in Philadelphia. Here's a guy who has been on the other end of the microphone heavily for the last 5 years, and for him to get on the other side of the mic is out of the comfort level a little bit. So I'm interested to see how he got involved with TSN, because I haven't heard that story yet myself. So that's going to be that'll be fun. We're waiting for Nick. He's obviously busy with a lot of stuff that he is doing. Let's hear some more, because we played some audio over the course of the day from some of the superstars that have been in town playing in the All-Star game. And maybe at the top of the list, LeBron James. He was on the podium today, and his thoughts on the All-Star week coming to Toronto.
I think it's going to be great. I mean, the fans here are great. They're loyal. And they're excited about it. They're excited about All-Star weekend being here, so it should be fun.
Won the matchup and still play with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh?
Absolutely. It's always great seeing those guys. You know, and it's you know, it's, you know, for them to be all-stars once again, and me to be here, you know, it's an opportunity for us to reconnect for sure.
Ron, you're obviously biased in this regard.
Is that
going to
go down as the best class?
I'm definitely biased for sure, but I mean, you just look at our resume and the things that we've done in our class. You know, we got multiple champions, we got MVPs, we have all-stars, we have everything that you can ask for, and we're still doing it. You know, we're not slowing down, and it's a great class to be a part of.
With this being Kobe's last, I mean, I know you're nowhere near done, but when you see banter you got in Cleveland the other night, does it make you think about your basketball mortality a little bit?
Oh, of course. I'll be lying to you, you know, if I didn't think about it, you know, just understanding that, you know, obviously look at Kobe's generation with Kobe and Duncan and Dirk and KG, to name a few. We're the next generation that comes after that. Myself, Chris Paul, D-Wade, Chris Bosh, Melo, that's our next wave. So, you know, they paved the way for us, and now, you know, those guys, you know, you got Kobe retiring, you know, Timmy D is always on the fence of what he may do, you know, KG as well, and it's like, wow, you know, we the next wave, we'd be us next, so. No, I don't have a target. I don't have a target at all. You know, I got so many great years left, you know, to play the game, so I don't have a target, but you definitely know that at some point, I mean, it's inevitable that, you know, we all gonna have to come to an end.
LeBron James, Family Foundation. What's your objective, and how does it make you feel to be able to help the less fortunate?
Our objective is to continue to empower families, empower kids. My foundation has done a great job of being on hands at this All-Star Weekend already here. We had a great foundation event yesterday. That my foundation and my team took care of, and we gave away so many great things. You know, and it's always great to be able to put smiles on people's faces, you know, all over America and all over the world. So they've done a great job.
What are the hardest
generation. Is Steph Curry the next generation after that, or is he part of yours? And are you one of the few that could be multi-generation?
No, I think Steph is the generation, you know, with KD and Russ and James, James Harden and those guys. They're kind of behind myself and D-Wade and Bosh. And then, like I said, you got Kobe and those guys. You know, their generation kind of is like a little bit before us, but we're all playing in each other's generation right now, which is a really cool thing. So you got guys like, you know, Karl Anthony Towns and Porzingis and D'Angelo Russell. You got their class, and then you got, you know, the Kyrie, you know, his class, and then you got the Steph Steph and KD and all that class, and then you got my class with D Wade and Bosh, and then you got, like I mentioned here with Tim, you know, you got those class with Kobe and the rest of those guys. So it's like five or six different generations in our game. That's what makes our game so great.
You're very clever, a very good level. What do you mean? Second half.
I think that would be a disservice to what we need to do if we just only thought about Golden State. Our first game after the break is against Chicago, and that's our mindset, and it go from there. You know, we got to continue to get better every day, and you know, if we do that, we give ourselves a good chance to play with anybody.
That is LeBron James on the podium today as part of the All-Star festivities as the weekend has arrived here in Toronto. We will have NBA talk on the other side, whether it's with Nick, whether it's with Jack Armstrong. Minutes shy of 4 o'clock. That's when we head down to the Enercare Center. Dave Naylor, TSN Drive, coming to you from that spot. First up, though, we'll continue the hoops frenzy here on TSN 1050, where you're going to hear everything all weekend. And he is Mr. Basketball in this town, the one and only Jack Armstrong on the line. How you doing, Army?
Hoagie, I'm great, buddy. How are you?
Very well, thank you. You are the entertainment committee. That is that is something that you have earned over your years here. How busy is your weekend?
It's been quite busy so far. Yeah, like today, particularly from a work perspective, I've been going pretty hard with the 3 hours of live TV and a bunch of radio shows and appearances and the game tonight and all that. So it's all good, though. It's a positive problem. I'm thrilled that I'm working. I'm thrilled that Toronto is finally hosting the NBA All-Star game, and it's a celebration of the sport. And so it's great. It's a really exciting time right now.
I've always heard from beat reporters, whether it be in the NBA or the NFL or Major League Baseball, that the worst All-Star games are the one that you host, because not only are you there doing stuff for your station, but everybody wants to talk to you. So I can understand why you're a little hectic, but of this weekend, what are you looking forward to the most?
Monday morning. No, I'm just kidding. What I'm excited about is just to really begin to witness. Like last night, I was at the Giants of Africa film screening and party and all that, and that was wonderful. To me, it's just every person I come across, the joy in their face. Really, I mean, that's what, and I'm not even looking forward to it. I'm seeing it already. Like just the positive, excited vibe I'm getting from people. And I'm, you know, as someone who's been part of this process for 18 years, to see where it was and where it is right now, and potentially, in my opinion, where it's going to go, it's just exciting, and I have joy in my heart for what's going on right now, because as someone who loves the sport and loves the city and loves the people here, I think it just has a it's just a great event for everybody.
You had grown up in New York, which is a great basketball town, and then coached in the NCAA before coming up here. When you first arrived in Toronto, what's the biggest difference in the NBA culture and the NBA environment in this town from 18 years ago until now?
Wow. Well, and having coached at Niagara for 10 years prior, I mean, I've kind of got 28 years of background kind of seeing where it's all gone. I just think, number one, the awareness level is off the charts. I think people are really in tune now with the sport and with obviously with the Raptors in particular, but they're definitely very much in tune with the NBA and with college basketball and with the sport in general. A very knowledgeable, passionate fans. And then the other thing would be that there's no organization in the NBA like this. I mean, it's a national brand. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's remarkable. I think you're at a point where all the games are on national TV. I mean, we have the All-Star game on national radio as well as TSN TV. It's going to be on TSN radio all over the country. So it's just, to me, it's come light years. And you see it in the number of kids that are playing the sport now, and not just young boys, but young girls. And think about the event right now, that what's going to happen for all these little kids that are going to watch this weekend and they get swept up into this. It's awesome.
So let me throw this at you, because you know the market, and you've been across the country as well with this team. And if you talk to a Leaf fan right now, they will admit their team sucks, and they're probably looking for other sports entertainment options. And with the Raptors going, there's an opportunity there to maybe get the fan that is not historically an NBA fan. And you can go to any hockey market in the country right now, because they're all out of the playoffs. You can say to a Canucks fan, well, the Canucks suck. There's an opportunity on the West Coast, even though they might be West Coast team fans, or in Montreal, in Ottawa, in Winnipeg, and sell this basketball team because it's playing entertaining games and it's winning. Why are the TV numbers not reflecting what I think is an absolute golden opportunity for the Raptors to capture this country? Maybe not to the extent the Blue Jays did, but pretty damn close.
I think, Hoagie, I think the fans have become a lot more sophisticated, and they're in the show-me mode, and I don't think they want their hearts broken like they were a year ago in the Washington Wizards series. I think people are still very bitter. I mean, it's one thing to lose a series. I don't think it hurt anything 2 years ago when they played a seven-game classic series against the Nets. There was no loss in that whatsoever other than losing Game 7. But the bump, the vibe, the excitement carried over into the following year. What I think has happened now is I think people don't want their hearts broken. I really think that they were so disappointed in the sweep and so concerned with what took place that people kind of holding back a little bit. And, again, I think it's a good thing. I think it's showing that people are maturing and growing as fans and in their understanding of the stakes at play. And I'm sure that it will improve that much more when, you get closer to the end of the season and the excitement and the buildup for the playoffs does begin. And I also think the Blue Jays' excitement kind of maybe hurt the launch of this season a little bit. I said it to you in the fall. Even in our worst years, I thought the Raptors were being talked about less and less this year going into the season, mm-hmm. More than ever. And it had nothing to do with the fact that people don't care about basketball. It had everything to do with the fact that, give the Jays credit, they did a great job of owning the platform for so long that it cut into it a little bit. So I think it's building. It's going to build. And if the team stays healthy and gets healthier and improves, I think you're going to see some really good things, and you're going to see all the numbers and the metrics or whatever you want to say. All that stuff's going to rise gradually, and I think it'll really improve.
TSN's Jack Armstrong joining us here on TSN 1050, and I'd be willing to bet a fair chunk of change on the fact that the Toronto Raptors, if they advance to the NBA final, will not be playing the Los Angeles Lakers in the final. So this will be Kobe's last trip here to Toronto. A lot has been made of him. The camera crews following him around all day today. It's sort of become the Kobe show. Should it be?
Yeah. I mean, this is a guy that has spent his whole career with one team. I was thinking about this, Hoagie, when we were in L.A. in November, and we played the Lakers, the Raptors, and Derek Jeter was at the game. And Derek Jeter spent his entire career with one team. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really, in a transient society that we live in now, particularly in pro sports, it's a cause for celebration that a guy, was with a team for the entire career. And he's, been an iconic figure for the league, and he's been an iconic figure for the Lakers. So I think people really, they want stability in their life. They want a guy that they can identify with that's with one team the whole time.
I will always remember Kobe Bryant as a Charlotte Hornet, though.
No such luck.
Yeah.
But in my, you know, in my opinion, I just think that people, they grasp to that, and they you know, they want that. So I really think it's a special time. And he's been a dynamic, charismatic figure. Now, when Tim Duncan plays his last All-Star game, maybe he's already played it. Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't think there'll be the same outpouring, whereas Kobe has.
How much fun are Lowry and DeRozan having with this?
Well, you know, they look like they're having a ton of fun.
Yeah.
I saw them last night at the Giants of Africa event, and you know, it's a big deal. I mean, it's their All-Star weekend, and you know, both of those guys have done a wonderful job, and deservingly so. They're in the big game, and to me, you know, yeah, there's a lot of obligations, and there's a lot for them to do. But I think they're happily, willingly doing it because it's just such a neat thing for them to really have such a blast, you know, in terms of just hosting people and, more importantly, being a center of attention.
Final question. You saw Giants of Africa. You mentioned that a couple of times. So what impact did it make on you?
Well, the impact it made on me is the fact that we all know Masai Ujiri is a very passionate basketball man, not only about the Raptors, but just as importantly about you know, Africa and all that. You know, it's a really neat thing. And the ability to bring people together through sport and try to affect change through sport is a really neat thing. And to me, that's what I love. And you know, watching the movie last night, these kids are being impacted in their lives well beyond just the sport. They're being given a chance to be exposed to people that are very successful, that are helping them see the light in terms of what it means to be a good young man and to do some significant things in life. Success is one thing. Being significant is the other. And more important. And I think what he brings to the table is that message to these kids. And I think it's great.
Well put. You were one of the few people in life I know that I never have to say have fun. But I will do that this weekend anyway, because I know there's a lot of work for you. But have fun this weekend. Just enjoy this for everything it's worth.
I look forward to it. And it's a pleasure to be doing it. And I'm sure we're all going to have a blast this weekend. And I can't wait.
I'll see you somewhere on the road. Thanks, Jack.
Thanks, Hoagie.
That is Jack Armstrong joining us, TSN Hoops analyst and the color voice on the radio side here on TSN 1050. When we do indeed have the Raptor games, we'll get into some best bets next and get you ready for the Nailer Extravaganza from the InterCare Center. That's coming up here on TSN 1050. .348, creeping up on 4 o'clock. Oh, the work week is almost over. This is the Brian Hayes Show. Mike Hogan in for him. We've been talking a lot of basketball. The guys are down at the Undercare Center. They will continue to do that on TSN Drive, including Dwayne Casey, head coach of the Raps, dropping by at 5:30 this afternoon. So keep it here on TSN 1050. It is now time on the program for Best Bets, brought to you by ProLine. Here's basically the deal. I'll give you 3 picks. And just you can like them, you can not like them, but it might tweak your interest a little bit into maybe playing ProLine. And I'll give you 3 games, and I'll tell you what the odds are by putting $20 on them. And we'll do all hockey today. And Montreal is in Buffalo, and some weird news, this whole Carey Price thing going in Montreal. But they really have to turn up their game a notch or two. They look pretty good on the weekend. And I'll take them because they're in Buffalo tonight. And let's face it, you, me, and 4 friends could beat the Sabres. So we'll take Montreal with the plus, and the odds are 2. Pittsburgh and Carolina, both teams are battling for a playoff spot. Pittsburgh's been meh all year. Carolina's been playing better of late. I'll take Carolina by a goal simply because they're the underdogs at home. It pays $2 as well. So we'll take that. And then paying 160. A team that is very, very good, Florida Panthers. They are a team that's flying under the radar. They've got St. Louis on this one. They're home. It pays 1.6, but hey, we'll do that anyway, just because by taking those three games, games 1, 3, and 6 on the card, betting $20, it'll pay $128 if all three come through. So you can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio, and you can get way into the game with ProLine. It is a sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, the event info, and matchup stats on your phone. ProLine, get way into the game. And it's an opportunity for you here in Toronto to get way into the NBA this weekend. And let's put it this way. When you started watching sports as a kid, or whenever you started watching sports, you were doing it because it was fun. And that's what this weekend is all about in Toronto. There's going to be a ton to do, a lot going on at the Enercare Center, and I hope you're able to get down to Center Court and experience that if you're not lucky enough. I went online when the tickets went on sale for everything and couldn't get tickets to anything, and it was frustrating. If you're lucky enough to get those, enjoy them. If not, you can keep up to speed on everything happening by listening to TSN 1050 all weekend long. We'll have some of the games for you, and we'll have all of our hosts will be down at one point or another down at the Enercare Center. So if you have an opportunity to just go out and have fun with sports, of all of the weekends, this is the weekend that should be a blast. If you're going to any of the clubs, any of the parties tonight, you may run into celebs downtown. Have fun with that as well. That's going to wrap up the Hayes Show. For Steph and for Mully on the other side of the glass, my name is Mike Hogan. TSN Drive next on TSN 1050.